This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
If I'd have been with other people, I think I'd have been like, oh, and I think I may have just gone. Mm. But I think the people around the table, it made it so much fun. And I think we probably giggled most of the time throughout that.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
And it was just a really, really nice time. And I think that's kind of what happens at Green Drinks.
Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do, and that you also laugh just as much too. This episode is coming to you in a slightly different format today because we get to take you along to Green Drinks. Green Drinks, if you've not heard us banging on about it, is our monthly get together here in Raynham. We meet on the first Monday of every month at 7:30 in the Manor Farm. And this episode, we introduce to you some of our regulars, some of our newbies, and some of our younger members, sharing with you all of the things that they love about getting together and connecting over a drink in a local pub.
Did you know that according to muchbetteradventures.com, there are 6 reasons why nature helps you make friends? Did you know that?
No, I did not. Please tell me.
Really interesting. Essentially, they're talking about nature helping to create a sense of community and friendship, and how kind of this environmental space has a lot of downsides, has a lot of challenges, but is really, really interesting in terms of connecting people, bringing people together, forging friendships, and really kind of connecting people on that values level, which I thought was really interesting.
Wowzers.
So, 6 reasons why nature helps you make friends. Number one is because being in nature literally makes you happier. So,
True fact,
yeah. So when we're out in nature, we feel more relaxed and happy, which is essentially, they say, is an ideal time to make friends. So yeah, essentially they're looking at the hypothesis of being peaceful and nurturing in nature helps regain cognitive clarity, empathy and hope, which is really nice. So essentially making the space for making friends really, really easy by being in nature, which I thought was lovely for number one. Number two, because you're more focused. So when you are at work, you've got a set amount of tasks to get through and you have to get through your day. But when you're really focused on something like climbing a mountain or hiking or walking through the trees, it's really easy to tune out and just focus on the task in hand. And so for that reason, helps to reduce stress and helps you kind of open up, connect with more people.
I've got a really funny story about that.
Tell me.
So last year, I made it a mission that I needed a thing. I wanted to like have a hobby of some sort, but I needed something that I could like zone out on because I get in my head too much sometimes, right?
Okay.
And so I thought, I want to do mountain biking. You know, like proper, like down a dirt track mountain biking. Well, only because my reasoning was you would have to really concentrate really hard not to die and flip over the handlebars.
Your bike is too sexy for...
No, I couldn't do it on that. I would have had to have borrowed my son.
Fine.
And he thought it was hilarious. And we did go to a dirt bike track. But essentially, it's exactly what it says there, is that you are focused on something, can't you?
Yeah.
Other than what is going on already around you or like in your head or whatever.
Really?
So
nice.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Right, a really nice way just to kind of... it talks in this about task switching, which is something that we do an awful lot these days. So you don't quite finish something and you've got kind of 2 or 3 things running. And actually just saying that that's really easy for burnout and basically like your prefrontal cortex and other areas of your brain, which are good for conversation, cognition, learning and understanding people, is really affected by so much task switching. God, these are tongue twisters, aren't they? But being out in nature just kind of just drops all that away and just helps you just to connect with people much more gently, which I love. Number three, which is my absolute favourite, is because you're experiencing awe. Now, hold up. Let me just...
Oh, I love that word.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Awe. Let me find the interesting thing. So... they staged some experiments about that. In one experiment, 1,500 participants were asked how often they felt awe alongside other emotions. And they were given 10 lottery tickets and told that they could give some away. Participants who regularly experienced or were on average 40% more generous.
Wow.
Don't you think that's cool?
Wow.
So when you're like, yeah, whoa, look at that rainbow, that's beautiful, I spotted this. Like, just makes you more generous, makes you a nicer person.
Wowzers.
Cool, isn't it? And because you bond through adversities, number four. So essentially like climbing up a mountain or achieving something that you've not done, connecting you on that level as well, which is really nice. And I'm going to leave the other two for a bit later on in the podcast.
Oh, little cliffhanger.
Yeah, because what are we talking about today?
The absolutely amazing wonder of green drinks, which is like, for us in our town, it's a monthly gathering, isn't it, of like-minded people on a Monday night in a local pub where we all get together. So yeah, I just want to unpack this.
Celebrate it. You were really keen on green drinks, weren't you, when we came out of lockdown?
And do you know why?
Why?
Because we'd been locked down for so long and I am the most introverted extrovert, or the extroverted introvert that you'll ever find. Like,
what
I'm
do you
a
mean?
Walking contradiction.
Talk to me about
because
that.
Because I love people, don't yeah. I? Like, I, if me and Liz are out somewhere, I'm like, hiya, hiya. Like, I literally just want to,
you
like,
you can't go anywhere without someone stopping you, can you?
Because I just love meeting people. I love hearing their stories. I was thinking about this morning, like, you never listen to somebody's story and not either learn something about the world around you or yourself. Like, I've never met someone and gone,
I love that. That's really beautiful.
Do you know what I mean?
I love that you love it, because yeah, I find it really difficult.
Yeah.
So I love how much energy it gives you.
But on the flip side of that,
what is
there
the
is only so
then?
Much.
Yeah,
I, there is only
energy.
So much of energy, because I just give out so much and then I go, oh, I need to retreat and then I need to go. So green drinks is like perfect for me, because it took our online stuff into, you know, real life, being able to meet these people for real life. And it just gives me, it feeds me, it feeds something in me. I don't know quite what yet.
I love that. I guess before you even walk through the door, you know, you've got something in common with absolutely everybody in that room, which is quite unusual, isn't it? Like, if yeah, you just go to a social space, you don't necessarily know that you're going to have something in common with everybody, but you do.
Yeah, because I think we're just like so, like, do you think that we are more aware of our differences as people, as humans, rather than our similarities?
I think that's probably fair to say, actually, isn't it? I don't know whether it's a time in like an age thing, whether it's a time in society, but yeah, I think you're probably right. I think maybe previously, you know, you connected because you're both parents, or you connected because you went to the same school, or you connected because you liked going and getting drunk together, or you worked together, or whatever. But the nice thing about green drinks is that those obvious commonalities aren't necessarily there, are they? If we had like,
it's quite a diverse group, isn't it? Although I say that, I was really conscious and aware that we have got groups that are missing and are vital to the climate conversation at Green Drinks. So if you was to look around the room, they are typically all white.
Okay, it's interesting. And
I wouldn't want to put people into classes, but, you know, it's quite white middle class. And I think that's kind of a general theme, I think, environmental work, isn't it? And so,
well,
we
talked previously about kind of environmental classism, and it's yeah, interesting that even if you say come and meet in the pub, no agenda, no formality,
yeah,
that still doesn't quite seem to be crushing that box.
I think it's about like the connectedness though, isn't it, and the relationships. And I think that's kind of what your stuff suggests, isn't it, that you sort of opened with, is connecting with other people. You need to be in relationship with them and kind of like invite them into those conversations. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really interesting, because we want those people there to truly represent
absolutely
our town.
Yeah.
Why do those people not come to Green Drinks?
Well, interestingly, right? So the friends that I have got that are missing from this conversation, so mainly black friends, they don't think it's their space.
That's really interesting. And what do they tell you is their space? What do they need? And do they need green drinks to...
I don't even think it's necessarily about green drinks, but I think it's just like this issue is, they just don't feel that it's their issue. And this is like a general conversation that we've had. So it's not a representation of like every single group. Do you know what I mean?
But it's interesting that we've talked it through. We're really, really, really mindful of it and still can't quite land being truly represented when it comes to our social space and how we connect with people. But that said, green drinks is still incredibly popular, really well attended, and within the kind of subset of society is quite diverse. Age group wise is quite diverse.
It is multi-generational, which absolutely blows my mind every single time. So like, if you take this week, for example, we had little Freddie, who's 3, and we had Will, who's like 15, and then we had everybody in between, all the way up until 80.
Really cool.
And I think if you was to look now, like if you look at your, if you're local and you're in Raynham, look at your groups and see kind of how diverse they are in age, race, class, you know, kind of all kind of matters of diversity in terms of who you've got sat around your table. And I would challenge people to look and say, who is missing from this?
Yeah.
You know, have you got people that have got disabilities, for example, and kind of like look at those gaps. But I think also celebrate the strong points, which is having all of those people, different ages that we've got sat around the table that are able to like learn from each other. There isn't one person that's like, know it all. Gone are the days where the teacher holds all of the expertise, holds all of the knowledge, and then pours all of that into a student's head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be like evenly distributed.
And just the teacher is there to facilitate a safe
conversation
and
yeah.
comfortable environment. I think without blowing our own trumpet, I think that is something that the Hub is good at.
That's the beauty of the Hub, I think, is that it's being able to bring all of those people together to be able to not claim to be an expert, but share all of their skills and all of their talents and kind of work out how that can benefit, you know, them, the people in their community, because it's gold, isn't it? When you can see, like, for example, on, and you're here in the like sound clips, there was such a diverse group of people there that were just doing, you know, so much different stuff. And I could spend all day like sitting there listening to people's work. And not even like some people do like voluntary work in the environmental sector, but some of them are just like parents.
Just
and
caring,
I say
just,
not just, but do you know what I mean?
Just really, really care.
Just because they care, yeah.
It's really important, and it's necessary that those people are there and that the space doesn't get filled up with people who are already taking action, because otherwise you maybe feel like you can't be that person if you're not already taking action. So it's good that it does reach that space. I find it interesting, we sometimes have challenge about the fact that it's held in a pub, don't we? What would you say to those people that say, you know, why? And it's a chain as well. It's not even some independent. So we really are like, I guess, you know, not typical for where you'd expect to hold an environmental group. But what would you say to those people that say, why have you held it in a pub?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, where else would you hold it? I mean, we are essentially, we're a grassroots community group. So there's no funds to go and hire a hall. We don't necessarily have a community hall space, or that we do have a community hall space, but within our means of being able to make it free and accessible to everybody, you know, it's not viable, is it?
And then we'd have to then, I guess, bring our own drinks, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
What does everyone want to drink? It's got good disability access, hasn't it?
And I think that maybe there are barriers to having it in a pub, in the sense that, you know, if you can't afford to buy a drink or whatever. But like this week, I just had hot water. It was so funny, right? So I went and ordered hot water because I'm choosing to just not drink alcohol right now. But I chose hot water, right? And everyone just like looked at me. They thought I was going to whip out a tea bag and put it in.
Did they?
Yeah. And I was like, I would actually do that normally, but no, I'm just actually having hot water.
You're so swanky, aren't
there
you?
Is like, there's like no need. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's just a nice space to be able to come. That's like informal. I think that's really key for us. Do you think?
I think what's really interesting is that Rochester Green Drinks, who is our next nearest green drinks, have a more formal structure. And that really, really works for them. And there are people that absolutely love Rochester Green Drinks. And I haven't been. But they kind of sit around, they sit in chairs with their pen and their paper and have quite a kind of more formal discussion. And I love that we're within like 5 miles of each other and offer something different. And both are really well attended.
And I think there's so much room for both. And that's, I think, the beauty of kind of just, you have to be led by your community, right? And I think if we had loads of people saying, you know, I want a more formal meeting, I want a more formal setup, you know, I want it minuted and all that sort of things, I would absolutely 100% empower somebody to take that on. And I think that's the beauty of being able to be doing this stuff.
They'll find a different audience as well if they choose to do it. So there are people untapped there that would only probably come if they sat with a pad paper. I would feel more comfortable with a pad and paper in my hand because I'm not as kind of confident socially as you are.
Yeah.
So actually I would probably find it
easier
to sit in the background, be quiet, just listen, take notes.
And you'd probably go away with such a handful of stuff. It would probably be quite helpful, I would imagine. So it's not like we're saying one's better than the other. I think both have their absolute...
You'd probably run both, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So Green Drinks is an international movement, isn't it? Do you know across the globe what the kind of principles are around green drinks? And
that is a very good question, which, to be honest, I think at the moment, I think it's kind of gone silent after COVID.
Has it?
Hmm. Because we stumbled across it.
It was right in the depth of lockdown, wasn't it? That we kind of, well, you said to me, this thing exists.
Yeah.
Well, does it start in New York or there was some in New York or?
So Green Drinks International, on their website, they basically say every month people who work in the environmental field meet up at informal sessions known as Green Drinks. We have a lively mixture of people from NGOs, academia, government and business come along and you'll be made welcome. Just say, are you green? And we will look after you and introduce you to whoever is there. It's a great way of catching up with people you know and also for making new contacts. Everyone invites someone else along. So there's always a different crowd making green drinks, an organic self-organising network. And if you was to look at the countries, honestly, there's like 30 different countries that have signed up to having green drinks. And if you click on each country, they will then give you a whole long list, of which there would be hundreds, I'm sure, all dotted around.
So the principle then was kind of whichever town you're in, if you're passing, go and see if there's a local green drinks that you could go and connect with.
And people do that. Yeah, we've had people from all sorts of places come visit, just like because they've been able to type in green drinks on Facebook and go and find us. Before, what used to happen is you used to type in the postcode on the website and it would give you
your nearest green
drink.
Your
nearest one, yeah.
That's so nice. So if you went on holiday, you went down to, I don't know, went to Wales or whatever, you could just search when Green Drinks is in Wales and then just go and connect with eco people down that way. Just see
cool,
what they're
isn't
up
it?
To. It's really nice.
It's so cool. Oh, it says now active in 402 cities worldwide.
Very cool. And one little town. Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start?
Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two?
Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, The Raynham Eco Hub.
So who did you meet Monday? Who was there Monday? I was sorry I couldn't be there, but talk to me.
Well, there was a whole range of different people on Monday. So we had a lovely family, this is partly why it was so good, because we meet at 7:30. So we had a lovely family, Kim, Tom, and their little boy, Freddie, who was three. Here is clip. It is the most cutest thing ever.
So I'm sat with my mate, Freddie. Hello. How are you?
Good.
Have you come to Green Drinks for the first time tonight?
Yeah.
What have you done today since you've been here? Have you had some crispies?
Yeah.
Were they yummy?
Yeah.
And did you have a drink?
Yeah. Bubbles.
You had bubbles?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say the word bubbles and not be able to feel happy. Do you like coming out with Mummy and Daddy?
Yeah.
Hey, Mummy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
This is Kim. This is the wonderful Kim who didn't want to talk, but now...
She's wrote me in.
Freddie has shoved the microphone into his mum's mouth. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You have been to Green Drinks probably since right from the nearly beginning?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't it so lovely when you look around and see all these lovely people?
No, because we weren't this busy to start with. No. I think there's about five of us.
And now it's grown, and now we've got
new people.
It's really nice, isn't it? Getting to hear everyone's stories. We've just been talking to Sharon.
Mm-hmm. Got the oysters, didn't know about that.
Bit of a ledge. Freddie's now going to go and get his Harry Potter dress.
Bargain boy,
obviously. It all happens here. Green drinks, though. It's a bit of a right, isn't it?
It is.
Thank you for talking to me.
Thanks.
Even though you didn't want to.
So you had like a nice family come along, and then a mother and son duo come along who he's been on our previous podcast, actually. He come along and they were making connections. I don't know if they'd met before or whether that was the first time, but they was having nice conversations. We had a new lady come along who volunteers for Medway Estuary Swale Partnership. And she spoke an awful lot about her work along the South Coast, which was fascinating. And I would love to kind of like delve into her a little bit more because she had so much information. It was hilarious.
Should we have a little listen?
I'm sat here and we have already had a bit of a conversation. And I had to stop partway through to say, please, would you mind if I record this conversation? Because you have got such an exciting life. I want to be you. Tell me, what do you do?
Well, I'm Sharon, and I'm a retired, semi-retired company secretary, and I got into environmental work because of my love of parkrun. I was at Pegwell Bay Parkrun, and I saw a notice saying, would you like to do some beach cleans? And I signed up and went along and did beach cleans. I then got involved with Guardians of the Deep, and we did beach cleans, we did litter picks, we did some shore surveys. I then got involved with being a coastbuster. And
what does that entail?
It's working with Natural England, and it's helping to control invasive non-native species of oyster that are threatening areas of special interest that need to be conserved. So native species like the blue mussels are under threat because these oysters are breeding and forming reefs, and they will take over and just obliterate all the native species. So it's been a problem in the Netherlands, and all around our coast we've got these non-native species that are threatening to take over, and Natural England was given funding to try and control it. So we go along and we have our equipment, basically hammers and goggles, and we go along and chip them off the rocks, and then the seagulls eat them. The oyster catchers don't actually like oysters, apparently.
So, oyster catchers don't like oysters.
Well, there's a bird called an oyster catcher.
And they don't like oysters.
Apparently they don't like oysters, but the seagulls do. So as we go along chipping these things off the rocks,
yeah,
the birds come on behind us and eat them. So it all gets, you know,
back into the ecosystem, into the system. Yeah.
So as we go along, we also have, we'll take along a black bag, and we'll find any litter and take that off the beach as well. Leave it for the council. We typically go out in Minster locally. I'm down there on Wednesday, in fact. There's a session. It's all dependent on the tides. So we're down there from, I think, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock this Wednesday, 6th of March.
So if people wanted to get involved and join that sort of action, what do they need to do?
Well, the group that I'm with is called the Medway Swale Estuary Partnership, and Belinda Lamb is the volunteer coordinator. And there has been funding for this. I think the funding is coming to an end, and each year they have to make an application. So it's dependent on whether that's approved. There's another group that's down in Ramsgate, and we work on the chalk reef down there. So that's at the Western Undercliff in Ramsgate. And there's a guy down there called Willie, and he's done these surveys, and he was telling us all about what had happened in the Netherlands, where it's been a massive problem, and they were looking for volunteers. And I've done a few of those sessions as well, but that's further to get to, and if they're early in the morning, then it's, you know, traffic dependent. So it's easier just to go down to Minster and join that group there.
So how did you end up here today at Green Dreams? Because this is your first time, right?
I live locally, and I do litter picks with down in at Riverside Country Park.
Oh, so you're right.
And I've seen this group advertised on social media and kept meaning to come along. And my brain fog meant that I would miss it, which Monday it was, and I'd think it was every Monday, and it'd be the first Monday of the month. And I just came along, and I don't drink, so I don't normally go to pubs. I just peeped in.
Oh, well, I hope that you managed to have some good conversations with some other local people, and that you can talk to them about your infectious hobby, and that you get to learn a bit about what they do too. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
She sounds cool.
She was so cool. Honestly, I could listen to her for ages. But and then we've got like the likes of Leon and Alan was there, and a lovely guy called Paul, Emma, Laura, who helps organise and gets us all like in, keeps us in check. Actually, have a little listen to Laura now.
So now I'm with the absolute legend. That is Laura, and she is the adult of Green Drink. She is our organiser. She is the one who makes sure that we're all in shape, that we're all at the right time, at the right place. That was wrong, ran the wrong way around, and I haven't even been drinking. How are you?
Kaylee, I've got such a big head now, it's unbelievable.
We are so grateful to you for organising this every single month. You organise speakers to come along. You make sure that the people beyond the bar like us being here. You make sure we clean up after ourselves. You do it all. So how did you end up doing this?
Okay, so I have a bit of a passion for environmental work and issues. Did a random search on social media, like you do, and came across Rain and Green Drinks and thought to myself, I've got to go along. So it's a lovely group of people discussing a variety of issues, and everyone just has a brilliant time.
So friendly, aren't they?
Yeah.
And are you like me, where I just love meeting new people and hearing their stories and hearing how they've come to be here and kind of like the work that they do?
Absolutely, yes, definitely, Kaylee.
And is there anybody that really stands out to you that's come along and you think, oh?
Leon and Alan. Oh. So Leon being the David Attenborough of Raynham.
He is.
And Alan with his air quality and the bus services. And then yourself and Liz, who had the initiative to set this up in the first place.
Oh, that's really sweet. To be fair, I don't think it would have gone this long, Laura, if you hadn't come in and said, please let me help you. So I think you should give yourself a massive pat on the back. But I'm looking around tonight. We have got a really nice crowd. I don't know if the listeners can hear, but it's such a diverse group, isn't it?
Absolutely,
and
yes.
We've got all ages, people from all different backgrounds.
Age differences, yeah.
So good. It's so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think of like a connected community, when I look out at this, this is kind of what I see. We've got from age 3, we've got teenagers
to 80.
20s, all the way up to 80. I mean, how wonderful is that? How many groups can we say that meet that are so diverse like that in age? It's just wonderful, isn't it?
It is really wonderful. Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
So do you know, and I know that we haven't like planned out for the rest of the year kind of what any speakers or anything, but is there anything, if you could wave a magic wand, is there any speakers that you would love to get to Rain and Green Drinks? And of course we should give a shout out to Rochester Eco Hub, because you also help them organise their green drinks. Because do you want to give them a shout out? When is their green drinks?
The fourth Monday of every month at the Huntsman Pub in Rochester.
Amazing. Is there anyone that stands out to you that you think, oh, I'd love to get them along to green drinks and for people to hear their story?
Probably Kat.
Oh, tell me.
So Kat is the one who set up Rochester Green Drinks.
Yeah.
So in a similar position to yourself and Liz.
Yeah.
And then there's a group of us, a lovely little group like this.
Yeah.
And we just discuss making an environmental difference in Medway.
That's so good. So you would love to get Kat to come and do a talk at Green Drinks?
Yes.
I think that's your next task.
That's my next task.
Laura's so awesome.
Laura found us, which you just heard in that little clip, and she ever since has been like a little ray of sunshine. She's so positive, isn't she?
She's so cool.
And she is not flustered by our, well, maybe she is actually. I should take that back. I was going to say she's not flustered by our kind of craziness, but she helps organise green drinks and the talks and kind of just make sure that the pub kind of love us.
Yeah.
And want to keep us there and kind of like introduces people when they come and kind of, you know, does all of that sort of making sure that new people know who's there and
who
they can
chat to. Yeah, she'll make new people feel safe and know where to go, won't she? Everyone needs a Laura.
Everyone needs a
Laura. We didn't know we needed Laura for green drinks, and then Laura turned up to green drinks and we were like, this is going to be great with you. Kind of bringing everyone together.
You should have a listen to Jeannie and Leon's talk back to back, which is really, it's really, really funny. I kind of dropped him in it with I was like, what are you drinking? He was like, a Guinness.
Should we have a listen?
Have a listen to this.
So I've come and found Leon. What are you drinking currently?
I'm drinking Guinness.
Of course you are.
Thank you.
Your little tipple. Yes, yeah, sorry. You have been at Green Drinks since the very start.
Uh-huh.
And do you still like it?
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, you come along and you meet so many really nice people that are full of ideas and ready to work together. It's great company as well.
It's nice.
And it's nice just to come here and chat about any old thing.
And you've probably invited half of the people that is sat around our table right now.
Possibly.
You have. You are a great connector of people, bringing people in and inviting them. So what do you particularly love about Green Drinks?
Well, the people, really.
I knew you were going to say that. Me too.
Yeah, I mean, fabulous people who are full of ideas, interacting together and finding out things that we wouldn't know otherwise. Yeah, different things going on in the eco world, tree planting, Alan with his
air quality stuff.
This Guinness is nice.
This Guinness is nice. That was perfect. Thank you.
I don't know whether that was because he didn't want Brenda, his darling wife, to know that he was having a pint of Guinness, but I was like, what's your little tipple today?
Lisa didn't say absinthe. It was absinthe once, wasn't it?
Did he have absinthe? No.
Yeah, he did. That time the police pulled me over.
Was that absinthe? I thought that was...
I didn't have absinthe, by the way. Let's have this on record.
I thought it was a...
Sure, we Jägermeister. Oh, maybe it was a Jägermeister.
You can't say that time I got pulled over by the police and then not finish that story. You need to give full context.
So we went to a climate conversation at the town hall in Rochester. So all of the local environmental groups were there. And
went as a crowd, didn't
we? Yeah, there was probably about 10 of us, wasn't there, from the hub, which was really nice. So Raynham went over there and I think I'd finished work late maybe. So I had to drive and you guys had gone on the train. So on the way back, I was the only one with a car, so you guys could all have a drink. So we all went to the pub and we bought Leon what I think is a
absinthe,
but you think was Jaeger. Either way, fair play to him. So he was on the shots and then he felt a bit sorry for me, didn't he? So he's like, oh, I'll come home with Liz because she'll be on her own otherwise. You lot bumped on the train, which was fine. And then I'm driving through Gillingham and the lights are flashing behind me and the police pull me over by Gillingham Golf Course and ask me to sit in the back of the car while Leon's busy taking photos of me. Like
sending them to us on the group chat, being like, are you guys nearly home? I want, because he gave me.
I wish
me,
I got the train.
Did he give me his train
his
ticket?
Train ticket while he got in the car with me. He must have sat there for about an hour. Because basically, what had ended up happening is they said, I've got no insurance on my car. And I was like, I have got insurance on my car. These police officers were just staring at me, being like, prove it. And I was like,
prove it.
I need to go home to prove it. I'm in the back of your car. And so I said, what are you going to do? And they said, well, we'll just take your car. I was like, you can't take my car. It's got Leon in it.
He's a bit drunk. Did you actually say that?
I was like, you've got to get Leon home. Don't worry about me, but get Leon home. Please don't take my car. So I was ringing home.
Please, officer, don't take my car.
Knowing that Leon's taking photos of me. And then I was ringing my husband because I was like, I need these insurance documents to prove it. And he was asleep because it was so late.
Oh, God.
And I was like staring at them being like, I don't know what else you want me to do. Just I was in the end, I was like, take my car, it's fine, but please get Leon home. Anyway, eventually, for some reason, my husband must have woken up. He found it. And what had happened was we'd put a 5 instead of an S in our number plate. So it was just an error and they were absolutely fine. They said, sort it out. We sorted it out there and then. And
they said, sort it out.
Sort it out. Bit of a storm in a teacup. But I think Leon wished that he got the train with you guys. I've digressed, haven't I?
No, I wanted you to tell that story because...
to get it off my head.
It's so funny. And we still talk about that. I think this is one of the beautiful things about community is when you was talking about that, I have such a warm feeling about that night. Because
I didn't realise that there was 20 people taking the piss on WhatsApp while I'm sitting in the back of a police car. He was really, really good looking as well. I need to find that police officer again. He was beautiful. I was like, you can stare at me all you like. I still don't have my insurance details, but you are beautiful. Find that police officer.
It makes me so warm when I think about that night, because it was a time when we all come together to do the same thing.
And but we were from such a diverse background, the people sitting around that table.
Yeah, it was. But it was just, do you know what was really funny is it could have been really dull and boring. And
it was a bit annoying, actually. The meeting wasn't particularly nice, was it?
No, it wasn't. But and that's what I mean. If I'd have been with other people, I think I'd have been like, oh, and I think I may have just gone. Mm. But I think the people around the table, it made it so much fun. And I think we probably giggled most of the time throughout that.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
And it was just a really, really nice time. And I think that's kind of what happens at Green Drinks. And it's stuff like that. I think it's just so gold, isn't it?
It's
like,
really nice, yeah.
So sometimes you do have your kind of like serious talks, and we do get guest speakers in, actually. We haven't even covered that, sorry. But like, we do sometimes get guest speakers in, mainly local people, like just sharing their skills, sharing their passion, and kind of sharing their interests with other people. We have had sometimes people from outside, but that's very few and far between, isn't it? But yeah, anyway, you was going to finish with
Number 5 and number 6.
Oh, go.
Around reasons why being outside helps you bond and connect with others. So I know obviously you're not outside with Green Drinks, but I just really liked it because it was just around how this environmental space is a really good way that it kind of brings people together and connects. So number 5 was because being outdoors breaks down barriers. So it's just things like walking side by side. You've got no judgment, no expectations, not necessarily any taboos. And actually they're saying walking side by side, especially for men, is really, really good for helping people to open up.
Wow.
So men don't talk face to face like women do. Men talk side by side, a bit like green men in sheds.
Yeah.
Having people stand side by side allows them not to have that eye contact, don't feel quite so intimidated, and opens up. So I thought that was really, really interesting, especially from like for the blokes out there, like getting out and walking with a mate, perhaps they can open up a little bit more. And then number 6 I loved as well. It was because of those moments of being rather than doing. Some psychologists and mindfulness practitioners recognise 2 states of mind: doing mode and being mode. So the doing mode is good for getting things done, but it is problematic when we can't achieve all of those things. And being mode, on the other hand, isn't goal orientated. It's a state of accepting what is without feeling the need to change it, which I think is really nice, just around being a bit more mindful in nature and just turning off that to-do list. So I know it's slightly different from Green Drinks, but it's just still how the environmental space can be a really good opportunity to build connections with people, build friendships, make yourself feel good. And Green Drinks being an option to do it indoors with a beer in your hand.
And literally anybody can start one. I think that's what's just so wonderful, is that if you want to gather with people, because I've had this conversation so many times this week where people are like out of the area have said to me, I saw your post about Green Drinks, I really wanted to come. They're like an hour away.
Wow.
They wanted to come because they don't have anything like it local.
That's so nice.
And of course, anybody is always welcome, like we said, at any time. But if you was to put up a post on your local Facebook page, you know, your community page, and just go, I am going to be in the pub at this time and this day, anybody want to meet up, talk about, you know, green issues, or even just call it Green Drinks. Doesn't even need to be a thing. Just call it Green Drinks and say it's an informal chat about eco stuff. And I bet you'll be surprised that people will actually turn up. Because even if you had one other person, you are now connected with just one other person. Do you know what I mean?
And then it just takes one person.
And then you might go, oh, should we do it again next month? And then you might have another couple, and then another couple, and another couple. And like, that's how ours has grown. I think we were really lucky in the first go, we did have quite a large table, people around the table, didn't we?
Yeah.
And some months it's lower, some months it's higher, depending on like holidays and kind of bank holidays and all that sort of thing that kind of gets in the way. But ultimately, we still always have a really good crowd.
Really good turnout, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about doing it, just do it.
Yeah, always just do it.
Thank you for listening to the Raynham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.